Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Gold Patrol, Jesus 911, one man car. My name is Jesse Romero. My sidekick, my wife, is visiting her mother, being a good daughter. She's visiting her mother out in California. So I just wish my wife a great visit with her mom. And may the Lord continue to provide health for my mother-in-law. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Provide good health. Okay. We're talking about spiritual warfare here, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I think as Catholics, one of the things that people are always talking about, and they always want to know if there's a spiritual warfare aspect to it. And that's the issue of dreams. Let's talk about dreams. Let's probe into dreams here. And let's see what we can glean from Catholic thought. I'm looking at an article here. You know, let me start off with a quick prayer. Right now is the month of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May is when we honor Our Lady. So a prayer of hope is the Hail Holy Queen. That's a prayer where we're asking Our Lady to give us an increase in the virtue of hope. And what is hope? Hope is believing in the promises of Jesus Christ. Even though you haven't seen Christ, we believe in the promises of Christ by faith. That's hope. And the Hail Holy Queen is the prayer of hope. So let's pray it together. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, mourning and weeping in this valley of tears. Turn then, most gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy towards us. And after this, our exile, show unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O most holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. And today's beautiful psalm is Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name give the glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Alleluia, alleluia. Okay, dreams. There's an article, it says coronavirus attacks dreams. Are you kidding me? We'll go deep into this. We'll plumb the depths of this article. It says, infecting our dreams, pandemic sabotages sleep worldwide. For millions of people around the world dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, sleep brings no relief. The horrors of COVID-19 and the surreal and frightening ways it has appended daily life are infecting dreams and exposing feelings of fear, loss, isolation, and grief that transcend culture, language, and national boundaries. Everyone from a college teacher in Pakistan to a mall cashier in Canada to an Episcopalian priest in Florida is confronting the same daytime demon. Each is waking up in a sweat in the dead of night. Experts say humanity has rarely experienced collective dreaming on such a broad scale in recorded history, and certainly never while also being able to share those nightmares in real time. It's that alarming feeling of when you wake up and think, "Thank heavens I woke up," said Holly Smith, an elementary school librarian in Detroit. Once it hits your dreams, you think, "Great, now I can't even escape there." The psychological toll is staggering, particularly for healthcare workers whose dreams show similarities to those of combat veterans and 9/11 responders, said a Harvard University professor who is surveying the COVID dreamers worldwide. Dr. Barrett has collected 6,000 dream samples from about 2,400 people. So many people are sharing accounts of dreams online that there's a Twitter account dedicated to gathering them in a virtual library under the handle I Dream of COVID. As far as I know, No one has dream samples from the flu pandemic of 1918, says Dr. Barrett from Harvard. She said that that would probably be the most comparable thing. But nobody has dream samples from that flu pandemic in 1918. Dr. Barrett from Harvard, who's also studied the dreams of 9/11 survivors and British prisoners of war in World War II, said the following, quote, "Now we just all have our smartphones by our bed, so you can just reach over and speak it or type it down. Recording our dreams has never been easier," close quote. The dreams are also exposing us what's bothering us the most about the pandemic. The themes seem universal. Dreams of a place suddenly overtaken by the virus speak to contagion's terrifying invisibility, says Kathy Carruth, a professor at Cornell University, who has studied trauma for 30 years. She says pandemic dreams are reminiscent of the experience of Hiroshima survivors who worried about invisible radiation exposure and also some nightmares described by Vietnam veterans. An Episcopalian priest weighs in, Mary Alice Matheson, remember the Episcopalians, I guess the ordained women. She said she dreamed that 500 people showed up for a funeral in her church and wouldn't go home. Other dreams underscore that no one knows how the pandemic will end. In those, the dreamer wakes with a start before learning how it turned out. Ashley Trevino is still trying to process one terrifying dream. The 24-year-old barista is out of work due to the pandemic and was spooked when officials announced the first COVID-19 death in her Central Texas county. A few days later, she dreamed that she and her girlfriend were in line to enter a dark metal warehouse where they'd be injected with the new coronavirus by government workers wearing hazmat suits. Fluorescent lights in the parking lot cast an eerie glow as she watched her partner get the shot and gasp for breath. Then she got the shot too. I watched her kind of collapse against the wall, and while I was trying to fight the effects of it and not pass out myself, I was like, is she dead now? Trevino woke up whimpering. She immediately felt an impulse to share her nightmare with someone, anyone, and tweeted it to the world from her bed. Let's move over to Pakistan. Punjab province. A college literature teacher described dreaming that she was one of only 100 people left on planet Earth who didn't have COVID-19. The infected population had gained political control and was chasing the uninfected, so the world would become the same for everyone, said Roha Rafiq, who was 28 years old. Rafiq is terrified for her elderly father, who insisted on going to prayers every day despite a cough and stay-at-home order. I think, she said in a Twitter direct message, this anxiety has given me this dream. But according to Dr. Barrett from Harvard, she says that many people dream they are sick with COVID-19 or of being overcome by what seems to be stand-ins for the virus. For example, they dream of swarms of bugs, slithering worms, witches, grasshoppers with fangs. Others dream of being crowded in public places and without a mask or proper social distancing. Still others dream of losing control. In one such dream, the dreamer was held down by infected COVID people who coughed on her. In another dream, the dreamer came across bands of people shooting at random strangers. Most are low-level anxiety dreams, not trauma-induced nightmares. But that changes dramatically for frontline health workers, Dr. Barrett from Harvard said. She continues, the healthcare providers are the ones who look like trauma population. They're having flat-out nightmares that reenact the things they're experiencing. They all have the theme that I'm responsible for this person's life and I'm not succeeding and this person is about to die. And when they dream about their child or parent getting COVID-19, for the care providers, there's always the next step in the dream where they realize, oh no, I gave it to them. So what about dreams? Do they all bear meaning? A Protestant article that I'm looking at here, it says, it's true that dreams and images often come from what's in our mind, but can God use that to send his message? Dreams may reveal inner turmoil, They may demonstrate hidden fears. They can manifest ways that we are still not dead to sin. They can show how we're still bound to the flesh. Dreams often reveal the struggle within us, areas of weakness or imperfection where the enemy may attempt us to catch us unaware, says author Jane Heyman of Florida in a Protestant Christian book called Dreams and Visions. She says, it's the silence of dreams that God often imprints something in our souls, something new for the subconscious and conscious when we remember to consider. Prayer to find out what it can be, what that it is, it can be revealing. In other words, pray about what your dream was. She says, is every dream full of meaning? We all know the answer to that. When it does have meaning, it should match up with something in Scripture. We must also realize that the devil can use dreams to harass us, scare us, or make someone appear to be what he or she is not, to vilify a person. So caution. Some nightmares are avenues for tormenting demonic spirits to harass and rob a person of his or her own inner peace or joy. On the other hand, God will occasionally use a dream that startles or frightens to get our attention. And in some cases, God may have been trying to deal with the dreamer concerning a certain issue in his or her life for some period of time before the dream. And yes, and in certain cases, a dream can forewarn of danger, Jane says. She had a dream of her brother being killed in a car accident, which initiated prayer for him. The next day, he was in a serious crash but survived. And did God not speak to Pontius Pilate in a dream? Of course, he spoke to St. Joseph in a dream and Abimelech. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. I'm going to talk about, can demonic affliction affect the psychological?
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in his image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol. My name is Jesse Romero, One Man Car. My partner, my wife, is out visiting her mother over in Southern California. She'll be back with me on Friday. Mondays and Fridays, she'll be here filling in here. Both of us have been doing a Catholic spiritual warfare for many years, and I said, I need a female persuasion here, since she's also a first responder. She was a nurse in the Los Angeles County jail system for 2 decades. Okay, I want to talk about dreams and how it relates to the diabolical, how it relates to God, and how it relates to spiritual warfare. Dreams, a question that people have is, can demonic affliction affect the psychological? Can demonic affliction affect the psychological? Yes. The demon or demons goes after the psychological. What is psychological? Let's look at the dictionary so we can get a working definition. Psychological, dictionary.com. Pertaining to the mind. Did you catch that? Psychological. Pertaining to the mind. Or to mental phenomena as a subject matter of psychology. Dealing with, pertaining to, or affecting the mind. Especially awareness, feeling, motivation, etc. So, the answer, can demonic affliction affect the psychological within the human person? Yes. Father Gabriel Amorth calls the affecting the psychological, he calls it diabolical obsession, which is mental discomfort. Diabolical obsession, mental discomfort, the affecting of the mind. The symptoms include sudden attacks, at times ongoing, of obsessive thoughts like pornography or violence or lust, hate, anger, blasphemy against what is holy, that the victim is unable to free himself of. Therefore, the obsessed person who's being psychologically afflicted lives in a perpetual state of desperation, prostration, and attempts at suicide. And almost always, diabolical obsession influences your dreams. Almost always, Father Gabriel Amorth says, diabolical obsession influences your dreams. Only an expert and a well-trained eye can identify the differences between obsession and mental illness. Some symptoms are so inconsistent with known illnesses that they point with certainty to the evil origins. Now, Father Chad Ripperger says about diabolical obsession. He says, yeah, you'll see that oftentimes the victim is unable to free themselves. There's this compulsive, obsessive thoughts. It affects the dreams. Absolutely. Compulsive, obsessive thoughts affects dreams. There's three types of dreams. You have divine, they come from God. You have diabolical, they come from the evil one. And then you got mental junk dreams. The brain is simply rebooting itself at night. Diabolical dreams are typically very vivid, very colorful, logical. You wake up exhausted. You wake up scared. Diabolical obsession also gives you tunnel vision and a strong depression. In the book by Father Ripperger, The Science of Mental Health, page 563, he writes, both good and bad angels can cause dreams. It is for this reason that the church has always cautioned people about interpreting dreams. Did you catch that? It's for this reason the church has always cautioned people about interpreting dreams. Why? Because both good and bad angels can cause dreams. I've heard it said from several exorcists that about 25% of people in America, one out of four people is diabolically obsessed. They have mental psychological attacks by demons. In demonic obsession, there's this constant dialogue in your head. And some young people have told me that they're always plugged in into something, music, some other chatter, in order to drown out the constant voices in their head. Again, that's what demonic obsession is. There is this constant demonic dialogue in your head. St. Ignatius of Loyola, that's why he told us, we need to guard our thoughts. guard your thoughts, because diabolical obsession is undesirable, obtrusive thoughts. Undesirable and obtrusive thoughts. We're talking about dreams and how they affect us. And let me move a little bit into dreams and nightmares here. So does God speak to us in dreams? Absolutely. That's all over the Bible. God speaks to us in dreams. How do I know that? It's in Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. It's in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. There God speaks to Joseph in a dream through an angel. It's in Job chapter 33, verses 14 to 16. It's in Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. Okay, so I just gave you five Bible verses where I demonstrate to you that God speaks to people through dreams. God communicates through us through dreams. Again, there are three sources for dreams. Number one, God, the divine. Number two, your human spirit. Or number three, an evil spirit. You know when a dream is demonic because it's usually vivid. It's colorful. It's logical. You wake up exhausted, scared, and depressed. Can demons cause nightmares? Absolutely. There's a Bible verse. Most people have never seen this Bible verse when I show it to them. It's in Job chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Absolutely. Look at what Job writes here about a demon causing a nightmare. Job chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. He says, "In my thoughts, during visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on mortals, fear came upon me, and shuddering, that terrified me to the bone. Then a spirit passed before me, and the hair of my body stood on end." Close quote. Wow. Okay, let's look at it again. Job is saying here that demons can cause nightmares. He's saying, Job chapter 4, verses 13 to 15, "In my thoughts, during visions of the night." So he's talking about his dream, his dreaming. "When deep sleep falls on mortals." Okay, he's talking about he's dreaming, he's asleep. "Fear came upon me and shuddering." Ah, so he's talking about he's dreaming at night and fear and shuddering have come upon him. He says, "That terrified me to the bone." Now let me tell you something. When God communicates a dream to us, you're not terrified. You're not shuddering. You're not full of fear when God, sends a divine dream your way. Then Job writes, "Then a spirit passed before me." Okay, there's two types of spirits, angels and demons. Well, what type of spirit is this that's passing before Job? Well, it's pretty obvious. If this spirit is terrifying Job, if this spirit is causing Job to shudder, and if Job is terrified in his boots, this is an evil spirit. Very simple. And then Job says, yeah, "Then a spirit passed before me, and the hair of my head stood on end." Wow. So this evil spirit is scaring Job in his dream. That's called a nightmare. I've got a question here. Jesse, how do we know if those dreams are to be told or not told? I don't like talking about my dreams. Some are awful. Dreams are personal. God didn't tell you to tell. There's nowhere in the Bible that says dream and go tell people unless God tells you. For example, when God talked to Joseph, it was personal. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, when God spoke to him, it was a personal dream. So if God speaks to you, he's not telling you to tell to anybody. It's personal. It would be like a private revelation. A private revelation is something that God gives you personally, a personal message. So don't go all over Facebook and start saying, "God told me to say this." He didn't tell you to say that. He just spoke to you, and that's it. It stops there. And God does speak to us through dreams. It's all over the Bible. But also, demons use dreams as nightmares. I just showed it to you. It's in Job chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. It's in the Bible. And so, as Catholics, this is why it's important to go to when before you go to sleep, to say your prayers. Say prayers before you go to bed. Okay? This is very important. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I wake up at 3 in the morning and stuff, and, you know, every day, and what am I to think about it? Is it the devil waking me up? Well, let's remember that the devil tries to imitate God. 3 p.m. is the hour of mercy for Catholic Christians because that's when Christ died for our sins. But 3 a.m. is also the hour of victory for Catholic Christians because, according to saints and mystics, that's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Sunday morning. I know Satanists try to use 3 a.m. If you wake up at 3 a.m., that means, you know, it's the devil or a demon that woke you up at 3 a.m. I mean, that's what Satanists and witches would have you believe. But as Catholics, we believe in the one true God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you wake up at 3 a.m., here's what I tell people. You know who it is? It's your guardian angel waking you up. You know why? Because somebody needs prayer. So when I wake up at 3 a.m., I start praying the divine mercy. Why? Because 3 a.m. for me as a Catholic Christian, it's not the hour of Satan or the hour of witchcraft. For them, it is. For me, it's the hour when Christ rose from the dead. It's the hour of victory. So I start saying my prayers, especially the divine mercy, because, again, somebody needs prayer. And I believe it's my guardian angel that woke me up. Wake up. Somebody needs prayer. And so I start my divine mercy, and I go right to bed right after that. And this way, you help out people in purgatory. You know, you grow holier because you sacrifice a couple of minutes in the middle of the night to wake up and pray. And if there's any demons trying to harass you at that time, what you've done by that prayer, you've projected the prayers from your soul out of your mouth into the air. So you've routed the demons out of your room and out of your house. You've driven them away. Remember, for us as Catholics, if you're waking up in and around 3 o'clock, don't give the devil more credit than he's due. Because the Satanists and witches, for them, their hexing and cursing and malediction hour is from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. That's their 3 hour, their 3 unholy hours. And isn't it interesting that that's when most cops say that the worst crimes happen, from 12 midnight to 3 a.m.? Yeah, that's when Satanists and witches are doing their curses and hexes and maledictions. But for us, 3 a.m. is victory. That's when Jesus rose from the dead. My name is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Jesus 911. Stick around. You don't want to miss what's up. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us, by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Mm-hmm.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, One Man Car. My name is Jesse Romero. And we're talking about dreams. And I want to talk now about this item called a dream catcher. So what is a dream catcher, and is it wrong for a Catholic to have a dream catcher in your house? Okay? So what are dream catchers? I'm looking at a picture of a dream catcher here. These are very popular. These it's an item. These dream catchers, they're part of the Native American religion. It originated with the Confederation of the Seven Sioux Tribes. So dream catchers, let me describe them to you. They're webbed and beaded circles hung with feathers from the base of the circle. So somebody say, well, what's so harmful about that? Well, according to Native American Indian religion and their art and their lore, their tradition, this dream captures. The purpose for the dream catcher is to catch dreams. They use this dream catcher object to trap bad dreams or evil dreams and to channel good dreams to the sleeper. And what they do, the Indians teach that you're supposed to put these dream catchers, they're usually placed in a window or above the bed, allowing the good dreams to drip down the feathers onto the sleeper's pillow. Okay? I hope you're starting to see as a Catholic where this is a real problem. So essentially, a dream catcher, it's intended to manipulate the spirit world. And some people believe in the efficacy of dream catchers. Others are unsure, but are superstitious enough to keep one in the bedroom. And still others, they see the dream catchers as part of a cultural history or just a piece of art that looks cool dangling from a rear view mirror. Okay, so now I gave you the background to these dream catchers that come from Native Americans that have superstitious practices tied to them. In fact, the dream catchers, they're intended to manipulate the spirit world. Did you catch that? So now that I told you this about dream catchers, my brother and sister Catholics, these dream catchers are superstition. They use them like a talisman. And that's why as Catholics, we can't have anything to do with dream catchers. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it's pretty helpful. St. Paul tells us, he says that, you know, he's speaking to the Christians in Corinth. They live in an extremely pagan culture ruled by superstition and magic and sacrifices, all done in the name of various idols. And St. Paul talks about the sacrifices that were a particular concern for him were the meat sacrifice that was sold at the market. Because some Christians felt in Corinth that eating sacrificed meat was endorsing the sacrifice and therefore inappropriate for a Christian. And others believe that, hey, since we're not worshiping the idols themselves, it's not wrong to eat this meat. But St. Paul gave some good guidance here. And I think as Catholics, we always have to go back to Scripture, which is, again, it's a sure norm for us as Catholics, the Word of God. I mean, we have to stand on God's Word, and we could always draw principles, even right now in 2020, the principles of life, so that we can know how to approach these things. Like, again, just something as people would call innocuous as dream catchers. Which are not innocuous, okay? These dream catchers have like a talismanic power, according to the Indians. And what that means, the fact that they have this, you know, talismanic power, essentially means that they're used superstitiously. And they're not only used superstitiously, but they're used superstitiously to communicate with demons or to manipulate demons. And so St. Paul's very clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the guidance that he gave, he said, there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods, lowercase g, and many lords, lowercase r, yet for us there is one God. However, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Ultimately, St. Paul is saying food will not commend us to God. We're no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do eat. But what he's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, that we must be careful that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. So just as it was with meat associated with idolatry in the first century, so it is today the same with superstitious objects in the 21st century. As Catholic Christians, we understand that false gods are nothing, and we also understand that a dream catcher that's given to you by an Indian, it has no power in itself. But the believer in Christ, we could see, especially those of us that are more mature in our faith, we could easily see a dream catcher, you know, that people, you know, attribute this superstitious power to it, to manipulate the spirit world, because that's what a talisman does. It supposedly has powers to occult powers, and it supposedly has the power to influence humans or even manipulate spirits. So those of us that follow Jesus Christ, I know, for example, I can see that a dream catcher, it's nothing more than a craft or a cultural expression from these Indians. However, somebody who's not rooted in their faith and they buy a dream catcher and they hang it on their window, they should consider other people's reactions to it, number one. And number two, if you're actually having these things superstitiously and you're not living in a state of grace, if you're not in a relationship with the one true God, these things could have an effect on you and your house. You're opening the door to the diabolical. Because, again, because this thing is supposed to manipulate the spirit world. Well, if you're not in a state of grace, the spirit world is going to say, you can't manipulate me. I'm going to manipulate you. Now you open the door to me by bringing me into your house and into your bedroom. So, again, it's also kind of the sin of superstition. Because if you have a dream catcher in your house, it's kind of tacit approval that you buy into or you approve of this Indian religious practice to catch dreams through this dream catcher. So although keeping a dream catcher, you know, there's no Bible verse that says you will not have dream catchers, you know, 1 John chapter 1. It doesn't say that. But the fact is, a lot of people that are secular humanists that are not people of faith, they use these dream catchers as lucky charms or as good luck, which is, again, that's also dangerous. The fact is, as Catholics, what does light have to do with the darkness? Nothing. Nothing. As Catholics, this should be a time for us to evangelize. If somebody gives you a dream catcher, somebody in your house has a dream catcher, and you tell them, hey, you know where this comes from? And tell them, you know what? We don't believe in superstition, or we don't believe in manipulating spirits. We believe in divine providence. We believe that God, that we rest in the palm of God's hands, and that our life is in his hands, and we just trust in him, and we don't look to anything else, nothing, no folklore, no art, no superstitious practices. We don't look to anything else except to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the one true God. So it could be a time to evangelize. Let me share with you a very cool story. I mean, this is super cool, about the way God used a dream to change an abortionist. Again, so the question, does God use dreams to speak to us? Yes. Let me give you a couple of stories Very good stories, the way God uses dreams to speak to us. There was an abortionist who quit after St. Thomas Aquinas visited him in a dream. Yep. Stojan Adasevic, a Serbian abortion doctor, when Serbia was still a communist country, he managed to kill 48,000 children in utero in his 26 years as a doctor of death. Sometimes he'd do about 35 abortions per day, but that's all in the past. Dr. Stojan is now one of Serbia's most important pro-life voices. Here's what he said in an interview. He says, the medical textbooks of the communist regime said abortion was simply the removal of a blob of tissue. Ultrasounds allowing the fetus to be seen did not arrive until the 1980s, but they did not change his opinion. Regardless of what he believed or thought he believed, Dr. Stojan began to have nightmares. There we go. You start living a life in mortal sin, you'll have nightmares. So in describing his conversion to the paper, Dr. Adasevic dreamed about a beautiful field full of children and young people who were playing and laughing from 4 to 24 years of age, but who ran away from him in fear. A man dressed in a black and white habit stared at Dr. Stojan in silence. The dream was repeated each night, and he would wake up in a cold sweat. One night, Dr. Stojan asked the man in black and white in his frightening dream as to his identity. He said, my name is Thomas Aquinas. He responded, Dr. Stojan, educated in communist schools that pushed atheism instead of real learning, didn't recognize the Dominican saint's name. Dr. Stojan asked the nightly visitor, who are these children? St. Thomas told him bluntly, without preamble, they're the ones you killed with your abortions. Dr. Stojan awoke in shock and fear. He decided he would refuse to participate in any more abortions. Unfortunately, that very day in which he made his decision, one of his cousins came to the hospital with his 4 months pregnant girlfriend. They had hoped for an abortion. Apparently, it wasn't her first, which is not uncommon in countries of the Soviet bloc. Dr. Stojan reluctantly agreed, but instead of the usual dilation and curettage DNC method, in which the fetus is torn apart with the use of a hook-shaped knife called a curette, he decided to chop it up and remove it as a single mass. Historically and providentially, his little cousin's heart came out still beating. It was then that Dr. Adasevic realized that he had indeed killed a human being. Oh, this story gets better. We're talking about the way St. Thomas Aquinas appeared to an abortion doctor, and you don't want to miss what happened when St. Thomas Aquinas appears on this.
On apologetics, you have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, where we go wall to wall with defending, explaining, sharing the faith. Master Apologist Carlo Broussard. Carlo, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, Gary, it's great to be back in the dojo, my friend.
Master Apologist Ken Hensley, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Good to see you again, Gary. Good to be with you.
Michael Barber, welcome. You have entered into the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo.
Gary, thanks for having me on.
We are chatting with Master Apologist Carl Keating.
Gary, it's great to be back with you.
Coming into the dojo is our good friend Steve Ray.
Thank you, Gary. Good to be here.
Tim Staples, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Gary. Thanks for having me on.
Join many others in Gary Machuda's Apologetics Dojo.
We have some of the best Catholic apologists in the nation.
Streaming live weekdays from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific. Hands-on Apologetics on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, giving you some Catholic briefing, some Catholic intel, so you can hit the streets to go out there and evangelize and share the truth with people, the truth of the Catholic faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, there's an abortion doctor in Serbia, Dr. Adasevic. He's killed thousands of babies in over 20 years of practicing abortions. St. Thomas Aquinas appears to him in a dream. And here's what happens. Dr. Stojic immediately notified his hospital that he would no longer perform abortions. No physician in communist Yugoslavia had ever before refused to perform an abortion. The hospital and government's reaction was swift and severe. His salary was cut in half, and his daughter was immediately fired from her job. In addition, Dr. Stojic's son wasn't allowed to matriculate into the state university. So after many years of surviving the many privations orchestrated by pro-abortion, pro-death, fundamentalist atheist government in Yugoslavia, Dr. Stojic was about to buckle under the pressure and give in to its demands. Fortunately, Dr. Stojic had another dream about St. Thomas. St. Thomas Aquinas assured Dr. Stojic of his friendship, and Dr. Stojic was in turn inspired. The physician became involved in the pro-life movement in Yugoslavia. In fact, he was able to get state-run Yugoslav television station to twice broadcast Dr. Bernard Nathanson's anti-abortion film, The Silent Scream. Since then, Dr. Stojic has told of his anti-abortion stance and his reversion to the Orthodox faith of his childhood to newspapers and television stations throughout Eastern Europe. In fact, he has a strong devotion to St. Thomas of Aquinas and is rarely, if ever, without the saint's books, his constant reading material. Dr. Stojic often reminds his listeners that in his Summa Theologica, St. Thomas wrote that human life begins 40 days after fertilization. Perhaps Dr. Stojic would opine the saint wanted to make amends for that error. So today, Dr. Stojic wants to continue to fight for the lives and the rights of the unborn. So here's a story of an abortionist who left their Orthodox church, had been killing babies for over 20 years, thousands and thousands of babies that he'd aborted. St. Thomas of Aquinas appears to him and tells him, hey, those nightmares that you're having, all those nightmares that you're having, those are the babies you killed. And as a result of St. Thomas of Aquinas appearing to him in a dream, he stopped becoming this infamous abortion doctor in Yugoslavia. It happened because of a dream. So the question, does God speak to us in our dreams? Absolutely, he does. Here's another thing that's been happening about dreams that a lot of people may not be aware of. Because as Catholics, Protestants as well, but Catholics, we're the one true church, so I'm going to blame us. We're horrible at evangelizing Muslims because we're scared. And that goes for our leadership, too. Our leadership is scared, okay? Catholics are scared of evangelizing Muslims. They don't want to tell them, hey, you got to believe in Jesus to get to heaven. Catholics are afraid. So what's happening? Divine providence, God is getting involved. What's happening is Muslims are having dreams of Jesus all over the Middle East and converting to Christianity. Look at this article that I'm reading at here. It says, former Muslim dreams of Jesus. Again, does God speak to us in dreams? Yes, but so does the devil. The article says, former Muslim dreams of Jesus, miracle healings, leading millions to Christ despite persecution. Talks about a Protestant pastor here who started all these denominations in Pakistan where he suffered persecution for his faith, has chronicled his extraordinary journey in a new book where he says that divine healings and prophetic dreams are leading many Muslims to Jesus Christ. Pastor El Masih, who started the Protestant denomination Cry of the Persecuted Church and now lives with his family in the U.S., shared in an interview with the Christian Post some of his most difficult challenges growing up in Pakistan, where he studied and followed Islam and the Quran for many years. So in his book, From Persecution to the Promised Land, El Masih, who has spoken thousands of Protestant churches and universities, explains that he grew up in a nominally Christian family, but embraced Islam at one point in his pursuit of truth, even becoming a teacher at an Islamic high school. Desperation and a lack of peace within the Muslim religion haunted him. However, it was the help of other believers and a pastor sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with him that he decided to become a Protestant Christian in 1993. He faced heavy persecution for his newfound faith, however, and he was treated as a second-class citizen by the Muslim majority, a situation that continues today for Christians and religious minorities in Pakistan. So El Masih said that the gospel is reaching many in the Muslim world. He added that if Islam is growing worldwide due to high birth rates, over 6 million Muslims each year become Christians in Islamic countries. Many Muslims are making decisions to convert, and not necessarily because of the Bible or a preacher who has reached them, but because Jesus himself is visiting Muslims in their dreams and visions. Did you catch that? This Protestant pastor, El Masih, says, this is a testimony which has been echoed by other Christians in persecuted regions worldwide, is that Jesus is appearing to Muslims in Africa, in the Middle East, in their dreams and in visions and in apparitions, and they're converting to Christianity. And so this Protestant pastor, El Masih, he wrote a book, it's called From Persecution to the Promised Land. And El Masih talks about the rise of his Protestant ministry and his effort in establishing denominations. He also says that through the power of God, he has witnessed and taken part in several healing miracles. He shares of instances where through prayer in the name of Jesus, he has seen a paralyzed woman stand up and start walking. And in another case, for a nearly blind man, Jesus restored his sight immediately. But this Protestant pastor, he also warns of various dangers facing Christians around the world, including the persecution at the hands of Islamists, whom he says have falsely convinced many in the West that Islam is not a threat. Actually, he points to spiritual threats that come from demons, witchcraft, and satanic forces, which he said are not fantasy, but real. And so, again, I think that the takeaway from this, the cash value, is that once again, you know, the Bible says that in the latter days that God will speak to young men through dreams and old men will see visions. That's in the book of Joel, and that's also in the book of Acts. St. Peter says that. And so what I'm seeing here is I'm seeing, again, because we're not evangelizing like we should be doing, Muslims, Jesus is stepping in. And Jesus is evangelizing Muslims. How? Like the Bible says in the book of Joel chapter 2 and in the book of Acts chapter 4. Or chapter 2 as well. How? Through dreams and through visions. So again, the answer to the question that I posed at the beginning of the show, I asked, does God speak to us through dreams? The answer is categorically yes. But also the question, does the devil speak to us through dreams called nightmares? Absolutely yes. Both. But sometimes our dreams are simply, as Father Ripperger says, mental junk. Our brain is simply rebooting itself. And so that's what some dreams are. It could be from God. It could be from a demon. Or it could be you had too many chili cheeseburgers last night and you're going to bed with indigestion. But going back again to St. Thomas Aquinas, God could even send a saint to appear to somebody in a dream. Can you imagine that? St. Thomas Aquinas appearing to an abortion doctor in Yugoslavia, and that abortion doctor becomes the most pro-life doctor and is now living a life of prayer and penance. That is amazing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So what's the also the takeaway? If you wake up at 3 in the morning, don't be saying, oh no, the devil woke me up. I'm afraid, and go under the covers. No, it's not that. If you're in a state of grace, if you wake up at 3 a.m., it's your guardian angel who woke you up. It's time to pray. People need prayer. The body of Christ needs prayer. Now, if you're in a state, if you're living in a mortal sin and you wake up at 3 in the morning, yeah, it's not your guardian angel waking you up. It probably is a demon. And it's your fault because you're living in mortal sin. That's why it's so important. Before you go to bed at night, say prayers and pray for a long time. Don't say like one quick Our Father and Hail Mary like a little fourth grade baby and stop and go to bed. Take some time, 10, 15 minutes of sustained prayer before you go to bed at night. Saturate your mind. Take custody of your intellect. You know, snap your lower faculties back into place by prayer and take custody of your intellect and just project prayers throughout the room, the house, which drives away demons. Prayer projection that comes from your soul and mouth, it goes out. It goes out. It's like an offensive weapon. It goes out there and it routs demons. And it also raises up to heaven like incense. And the angels are activated. They're called to duty when you're praying. Remember this. This is a very important principle of spiritual warfare. Angels come where they're asked. Demons come where they're not resisted. I'm going to say it again. Because this is the essence of spiritual warfare. This is why prayer is important. Angels go where they are asked. Demons go where they're not resisted. How do you resist demons? Prayer. If you're not praying, you're not resisting demons. Demons are all over you if you're not praying. The only way to flush them out and drive them away like kryptonite is prayer. And prayer also activates the angels. They go 10-8 on duty for Jesus when you start praying. All they're doing is waiting in the unemployment line for you to start praying. And so I end. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guard and dear, to whom the love of God commits me here, be ever this day at my sight, to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. Up next, Gary Matuta, the big guy, hands-on apologetics. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss that exciting show. God bless you. Keep the faith. Viva Cristo Rey.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.